As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Stupider. Girls go to college to get more knowledge. Wrap it up in toilet paper. Send it down the escalator.
Hello, you are listening to the second broadcast of Lady Radio, the new radio show of CITR's Women Collective. We are broadcasting live from the unceded Coast Salish Musqueam Territory of the University of British Columbia. My name is Erica.
And my name is Jules. You just heard Orange Blossom by Destiny, known in other lives as Princess Nokia.
Yeah, she has a few different pseudonyms there. I don't know what her other ones are, but she's making music on various names and mediums, which is pretty awesome. She just released an album called Honeysuckle, which you can listen to on SoundCloud, and a lot of her music delivers some pretty positive messages and feminist messages, if you are interested. So today, we have a lot of great stuff planned. We are going to be hearing an interview conducted by fellow lady radioer Callie Hitchcock. say hey. Do you want to say hey? If there's a mic for you, there's a mic for you.
Hi, it's Callie.
So she did an interview with Charlene Sayo, the creator of Vancouver-based podcast Misrepresent. So we'll be listening to that.
We're also going to be chatting with Claire Bailey and Druba Lamgear if they want to say hi.
Hey.
Hi. That was Claire and Druba in order. So they went to a workshop this past weekend with artist Alana Barthol about water witching, which I believe is also known as dousing, sort of a process of using a stick to find water. So we'll learn more about that later.
Before we get into all this wonderful content here, we're going to play a song recommended by Claire here. It's called Hollow Sound of the Morning Chimes, and it's by Tops, which is a band from Montreal, and they will be here on November 21st, actually. So highly recommend checking them out, and so enjoy.
Thank you.
right. Hey, so just to remind you, that was Hollow Sound of the Morning Chimes by Tops. Anyways, I'm here with Callie Hitchcock, who met with Charlene Sayo to talk to her about her podcast Misrepresent. That's Miss as in Mademoiselle. It's a pun. Hello, Callie. Lay it on us.
Hi. So, yes, I interviewed Charlene. She's a ray of sunshine, amazing woman, also known as Misrepresent. It's her website and podcast, basically showcasing and trailblazing women, contemporary and historical. So here it is. Here we go. I'm with the lovely Charlene Sayo, who makes the podcast and website Misrepresent. So basically, from what I've looked at, you're highlighting and interviewing female leaders in the arts, academia, science, politics, and more. From your website, if you don't mind me reading a quote, she says her mandate is to uncover women's history, understand women's culture, and create theory, which is totally incredible and inspiring. And I love, what a great blurb. So you're on your second season, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Second season. I started last year in the winter of 2014.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. So what inspired you to start this project? And like, was there an impetus from a certain moment when you're like, I need to make this? Or like, what was the inspiring moment, or if there was one?
There were many inspiring moments. First of all, thank you for letting me be on the show.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's fantastic that it's a group. It's a show that's being led by a bunch of young women.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic because that's definitely what I like to do. What inspired me to start Misrepresent was because I did a lot of radio in the past. I was involved with a feminist show, but I also wanted to start talking to women who didn't necessarily saw themselves as feminists, but who were doing really incredible things in their fields, whether they were scientists or artists or writers or academics, women who were really breaking ground and bringing a lot of notice to the field, but also women who were doing a myriad of different things. Like, they were either an artist and a scientist, a mother and a writer, or just women who were juggling like several different hats.
Which most women are.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, and I think that I was really inspired by that, but I really wanted to look at the women and their work and highlight also the kind of role models that they were, not just asking stock questions, which is usually what happens when you're doing media work. You tend to just ask five questions, the basics, the who, what, where, and why.
Right.
And then you don't really get to the fruit of who this person is and their work. And that's what I really wanted to do with my podcast. So I figured if I did my own show, I could make it for as long as I want and I could ask whatever question I want.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So how do you feel like you get to, as you say, the fruit of what people are, like what kind of different things do you look for or you're asking about?
That's a great question. What I really look for example, if I'm going to be interviewing an artist, I just don't want to ask, so what inspired this work? And where are you going to go? And what is your favorite moment so far in your career? I really wanted to read their novels, read their thesis, watch their films, and really get into the meat of the content of their work. And I think that's really more important for me anyway. That's where I feel like you could have a really deep conversation and have a lot of learning lessons.
Asking questions within the work, kind of outwards.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the best examples is I had interviewed Charmaine Nelson, who's an art historian here in Canada, the only Black art historian in the entire nation.
Amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's the only one. She's based in McGill, and her work is really interesting because she actually, the focus of her work is primarily looking at Black history through a Black feminist lens. So I thought that was really interesting to be looking at a history that's really not discussed on the day-to-day basis, but then also really using art history as a medium to really expose this history and using, like I said, a Black feminist lens to really look in terms of the Canadian landscape and how do we view Canadians, our own history, and our present and also our future as Canadians.
Great. Yeah. So it's kind of not the so, it's more of the so what of their work and what is it influencing larger, what's the larger issue at hand kind
exactly
of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I also, for example, I also interviewed Jennifer Gardy, who's the sometime host of The Nature of Things on CBC, and She's extremely well known in Canadian media, but also in the scientific field. But she's also a woman that's kind of like the face of popular science right now. And so I thought that was really interesting. She's also super nerdy. And I thought that was a great way to also highlight that.
Can be different hats or different personalities.
You know, to be scientists, you don't have to just stay in a lab and do boring research if that's what people assume what science is.
Right.
But you could also be somebody who, you know, spreads the word of science and can also bring people in to understand what science is and how does it affect our day-to-day life. And I think Jennifer Gardy is an example of that. And she's also has been exemplary in terms of trying to bring up the issues of women in science as well.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say is like, that's, I really like that you're showcasing those kinds of people because I feel like women are sort of not sort of invited as much to those kinds of math and science. And that's really cool that you're able to say, look at these women doing it. It's really fun. They're having a great time and they're amazing, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I love science. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I...
Yeah, totally.
But I love reading science. I think it's really, really fun. I wish that I had somebody like Jennifer Gardy when I was younger who could explain, you know, molecules and dirt in a really fun way. And maybe I would have been a scientist. But one of my other fun interviews that I did was with Crystal Dilworth, who's a scientist in the United States. But what I found really interesting about her is that she looks at brains. So she's a neuroscientist, but she's also a ballet dancer.
Whoa!
Yeah, and a violinist, and as well as a nationally ranking Olympic gymnast.
So, oh my goodness!
Exactly, and she hosts a popular show on YouTube as well. So she's a myriad of different things, and I think that those are the kind of women I also want to showcase.
Is totally,
that you just don't have to do one thing; you can do several things, and you shouldn't limit yourself.
Like people, yeah, that's totally an inspiration, and I know. I went to London abroad 1 year, and one of my professors was the most incredible woman. She obviously had her PhD. I was studying anthropology at the time, so she had done field work. She knew like 8 languages. She had 2 kids. She was a professor. She had her medical degree as well.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just like, I love when you meet people like that.
Yeah.
Because you can just say, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
Exactly. You know? And I think that, you know, women still are being limited in so many ways, especially in their career. They can only really specialize in one thing, or they're not really encouraged to do a whole bunch of different things, and they have to be specialists in one field only. And I don't really believe in that. I feel like women should really go out and do as many things as they can in their lifetime. And there's so many women that are doing that that aren't being highlighted or who aren't being talked about.
Yeah.
And I really want to do that.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Well, that's like really meaningful. I think that's very meaningful and rewarding is the word I was thinking. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah.
I was also going to ask you, so what so far, has there been anything that surprised you during the making of this podcast that, or something you didn't expect to happen in yourself, or something just in general you didn't expect about the women you're looking at? I don't know.
A lot of things. I didn't expect that I would actually like podcasting.
Okay.
Because when I first started, it wasn't this thing. I didn't really have a plan. I was like, I'll just maybe interview somebody. I had a bunch of friends that I thought, you know, who are really cool. And I thought, I'll interview them. One, you know, maybe for one episode. I didn't know if it was going to be a weekly show, a monthly. And then I didn't really know what to do with it afterwards. It was like, I have an interview and I don't really know what I'm going to do with it, but it was fun. After my first interview, I kept going. And then I didn't really know that I had the ability to learn a lot of things, like the technical things like editing.
Yeah, it's time consuming and it's almost endless as well. Like you can always edit more somehow.
Like I learned a lot of skills in the last 2 years. I mean, 3 years ago, I had no idea how to edit anything, like how to cut and paste or copy, like nothing. I had no idea. And I had to really learn because I was doing it on my own.
Right. And you have to learn quickly, too.
Exactly.
To get the content out.
Exactly. I had to learn quickly. So I've learned a lot of skills along the way. And I guess the other surprise is that people were listening or are listening.
Oh, yeah. What a great feeling.
Yeah. And people were like, I had no idea that, you know, these sort of women exist. I think it's just the learning and also the comments that people are sending. I mean, a lot of, there's been some young men too who are listening who are the fathers of young girls.
Of course.
And who said, like, you know, I really want my child to listen, my daughter to listen to your show because you're highlighting women that I want them to be.
Of course. Yeah.
And yeah. So that's, those are the surprising things. And I think just the different opportunities that have come my way as well. Being able to meet different women and I guess the women that I've always admired being absolutely receptive.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Interesting. And it's cool because you get to sort of cross the spans of gender in that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because I never really, I mean, I didn't realize it then. I mean, the majority of my listeners are still women.
Right.
But I realized that there were some young men out there, fathers, who are listening. And I think that that gives me a lot of hope and inspiration.
Yeah, I was just thinking hope. I was like, I feel so much hope for, like, humankind. And everyone should have a child or something.
Well, yeah, I think that when, you know, when there's a little girl especially, and I think that it's, adults start seeing that the world is looking already at a young girl in a certain way that's really dangerous to her and to women, and period. So when you present role models or women who are saying, you could be leaders, you could be absolutely incredible, you know, artists, you could work hard and this is what's going to happen. And you could also really devote a lot of your time to raising the profile of women and really raising sisterhood, and your life will be fuller and your life will have meaning.
Yeah, yeah, it's almost like you have these women that other women can look to in a, I love the word sisterhood. That was such, that's definitely, it's a romantic word that I really connect to as well, just because I think there is a larger sisterhood, and not to say there isn't a larger humanity, but I think there's a special bond between, I know that me and other ladies that I've been in contact with, and that's just like a special, such a special moment that you can even have with your interviewees.
Yeah, well, for me it's really important because I'm sure that as a woman involved in media, there's the Bechdel test,
right?
Where, yeah, where I think one of the requirements is that I think, like, if you're going to score high on this test, that looks in terms of women and media representation and cultural representation, it's supposed to have, you know, women featuring women, right. Women with names, so they're not like with the real names, so they have an identity.
Right. Talking to other women,
yeah, talking to other women, and then the conversation between the women
can't be about a man.
Yeah, and I think that, like, I love that, and I think that when women talk about, you know, their work, their passions, why they're doing what they're doing, it's so much fuller.
It's humanizing.
It is extremely humanizing. And then I think it also really expands the expectations that women, you know, we're not always thinking about, especially if you're a straight woman, you're not always thinking about marriage and men entirely.
Nope.
Yeah. and I do find that it's such a fulfilling conversation, and you learn so much more about each other and also the world of women and the culture of women as well, which is a lot more complex than I think people even realize.
No, totally. Yeah. And then when you're able to listen to these interviews or see that these women exist, you're able to sort of expand your own horizons in your own mind. Yeah. That's kind of the best part about your podcast and website to me, is that it's like, wow, now, like, once you see someone like you, you can say, oh, I can do that, or I want to meet more women like that, and I'm going to surround myself with people who are working hard and doing that. And, you know, you're not asking these women, like, what their weight loss regime is, you know?
And a lot of them aren't really thinking about that.
No,
that's the
exactly.
funniest thing. It's, you know, when you watch these interviews, say, like, at the Oscars.
Exactly. It's like, where'd you get your nails done?
Where'd you get your, you know, what dress are you wearing? Or, you know, how long did it take you to prepare? It's almost like these women are, you know, these are working women.
They're
with
artists.
Passions.
They're artists. They're, like, actresses being, like, they're artistry. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and a lot of them have, you know, they also have families, they have bigger passions, they have things that they want to achieve, and they know that the clock is ticking. So, you know, I think that women want to be asked very serious questions, especially about their work. And I want to ask serious questions about their work as well. I think that that's, you could really appreciate a person if you're really involved with what they're doing and you're really interested. And I'm not interested in asking questions that are, you know, the usual stock questions. I really want to know you know, the impetus of their work, the thesis. What did they learn and what keeps them going? And also, how did they get to this point where they can be brave to keep on going? And so every single woman that I've interviewed has had some sort of struggle. And so I've learned so much from them as well.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Cool. The only downside that I've learned is that it's the downside of doing this is that having regular, ordinary conversations, like banter, seems very boring to me now. I've surrounded myself weekly with women who are incredibly intelligent, and you know, they teach me so much about the world and you know, their life and what they're doing, that it's challenging for me to just have like a banter,
chit chat. Your friends aren't solving cancer and
it's
trailblazing something.
That's the only challenging thing. It makes me a little bit impatient. I should be more patient, but it's
I know what you mean though. Once you start having really good conversations with someone, it's addictive.
Yeah.
I think, because all of a sudden you want to be searching, you want to be exploring stuff constantly.
Yeah.
I think even just coming to university as well, I've definitely felt like that, where I'm like, let's explore this idea. What about this? You know.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Definitely. And that's, I think, I mean, it's an upside. It's also a downside as well. And I think that I also see more of the challenges as also how to raise, I guess, like the conversation also among women that isn't just about clothes and,
dating,
and relationships.
Maybe. Yeah.
And that I hope that women can also, you know, that women can really go beyond that, even on a day-to-day basis. That they can also start to think and reflect of their own life, because I think that there are times that women still really do buy into the fact that this is all that they can do when there's such a world out there to conquer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've noticed as I've gotten older, those kind of conversations have diminished within my friend group. And not to say, like, and obviously having relationships isn't, you know, wrong or bad or anyway, or like, you know, everyone wants intimacy and companionship. But I think I've just noticed that we all just have a lot of different stuff going on, and we're starting to really lock and load in terms of, okay, I need to figure out who I am, what I want to do, what's going to get me excited. And usually boys are like the last part of the conversation. You know?
Like,
oh, are you seeing that person? Yeah, we're seeing it. Okay, bye.
That's usually it. And I think that that's really what, you know, my guests are. I mean, many of them are married. Many of them have kids.
Yeah, totally.
But, I mean, central to their life is really what they love. And they have many loves and passions. And a lot of it is either their art, their politics, their feminism, their writing careers, their music, their dancing. So, yeah.
Right. It's about somewhere finding something that's going to be fulfilling outside of human connections, necessarily.
Exactly. Or it's even just, like, understanding their place in the world as well. And how do they, you know, what kind of legacy are they going to leave behind? Which I think that's also really the terrain I'd like to explore as well, is looking at women's culture and what do you leave behind, and what kind of world do we want to see where women are playing a huge active role in it.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Look out, it's Hardcore 2015, this Saturday, November 7th. Come on down to the Rickshaw Theater for the greatest night of punk rock Vancouver has seen in years. Canadian punk rock legends DOA and Gob join forces for the first time ever. Your world will be changed and your sorry complacent will be kicked. They will also be joined by the Boyds from Montreal and the sensational Wet Stilettos. Join the fun before DOA takes a hiatus as Joe Keithley works on becoming BC's next premier. Visit www.ticketfly.com for tickets. Concerts presents, from Montreal, pop band Tops, on tour to support their latest release, Picture You Staring. They return to Vancouver Saturday, November 21st at the Biltmore Cabaret with special guests White Poppy. For more information and to get tickets, go to timberconcerts.com.
All right, so we're back on Lady Radio, and the song you heard before the ad break was Sua Bellezza by Family Band.
Woo. All right, so that's now we're going to turn it over to Claire and Druba, who have some information for us about their water witching experience. Take it away, ladies.
Hey, everyone. Claire here. So on October 31st, in true Halloween spirit, Druba and I attended a water witching workshop at Access Gallery. Just to tell you a little bit about Access, it's an artist-run center that focuses on supporting emergent and experimental art practices. So that includes the work of Alana Bartol, who ran the workshop. She's an interdisciplinary artist from Calgary, or based in Calgary now, but originally from Windsor, Ontario. And after discovering that the women in her family have been known for their ability to water witch, she started using dowsing in her art practice. But before we dig too far into her artwork, let's talk about what water witching is. Druba?
So water witching, also known as dowsing or divining, is a practice used to find underground water. While the practice is most well known for telling people where to dig a well, it can really be used to find anything. People have used it to find anything from gold coins to even fugitives.
Yeah, so dowsing works by using some kind of tool and asking it yes or no questions. We tried a few tools at the workshop. I used L rods, which is basically a stick in the shape of an L. Ours were made out of a coat hanger that had been cut and shaped into an L. And you hold one in each hand, and when they cross, it means yes. And when they go away from each other, it means no. So basically, if you were walking through a field, you would ask, is there water here? And if there is water, they would cross and say yes, and that's where you would dig your well, if that's what you were looking for.
So I used a Y rod, which is like a Y-shaped branch that bends towards, like, bends downwards for a yes and upwards for a no, or like just stays the same. Yeah.
Yeah, and we even tried pendulums as well, which I'll talk a little bit more about later. But one of the attendees at the workshop mentioned how his father would douse even by dragging a chain on the ground, and when it seemed heavier, that's where the water would be. So really, it's all about creativity and using the tools you have at hand and believing that you have the ability to douse.
So there's like lots of speculation about whether dowsing actually works and how people can douse. There's no scientific evidence backing it, but many people still practice and hire dowsers to find water on their property. She told us about like a French mining engineer, Baroness de Beausoleil, was like born around the 16th century. She did a lot of extensive research on mining and like dowsing throughout Europe, especially France, Spain, and Hungary, I believe. But unfortunately, she and her husband were later imprisoned for witchcraft.
Yeah, so something else we learned in seeing Bartol's summary of the history of water witching is that most dowsers depicted in drawings that show sort of the practice of dowsing are actually male, which seems really contrary to the word water witching. So it really brings up sort of the question of how history is recorded and whether it's accurate. So who is really doing the water witching? Yeah, so after, now that we've gone through sort of what water witching is, how does it relate to artistic practice? Alana Bartol talked about how dowsing is about slowing down and attuning yourself to your surroundings in a different way. One story she mentioned is how while she was doing work at the Banff Center, she was trying out dowsing and she actually found a water line. She ran into some sort of marker and her dowsing tool said yes, and later on she found that was a marker for a water line. So although she never dug a well where she found water, that was interesting to see it did work for her.
Yeah, so she also talked about how it allowed her to, like, how dowsing allowed her to get closer to some family members. They were often reluctant to talk about dowsing, but more willing when she talked about it as art. After learning about water witching in general and how it relates to Bartol's art practice, we got to try it out, which was pretty fun.
Yeah, so before the event, I was pretty skeptical about whether dowsing actually worked. I really thought of it as something that maybe people used to do but really don't do anymore. But when I told my roommate I was going to a water witching workshop, he told me how his parents, who he describes to be very scientifically thinking, people grounded in the physical world, actually hired a dowser to find a well where they should dig their well on their property. And they dug their well and it worked. So that encouraged me. What did you think, Druba?
Well, I've never heard like the word dowsing before, so I didn't know what to expect going into the workshop. I didn't even know that there was like a way for people to find water underground like without digging, but it was really interesting, and like she was really like she explained everything pretty well, and she was very interactive and fun. We actually got to like go try to douse ourselves. We went from like we walked from Axe's Gallery through Chinatown to Portside Park, dowsing along the way. And once we got there, we all split up following our own dowsing rods. Do you want to talk about that more?
Yeah, so we all used our rods in this park. It happened to be raining, and we were on the beach by the ocean, so it was a little funny to be looking for water while there was water all over the place. A lot of people walked by, we got many funny looks. Lots of people making jokes like, the water is over there, and pointing to the ocean. So we did find water in that sense. Otherwise, we found a rainbow. That was nice.
I guess that's what we found.
I found a cool looking rock. But before we actually went out dowsing, we got to use a dowsing chart, which is a chart where you can ask any question and you write down possible answers in the spaces of the chart. So my question was, what should I do with my future? It's a very pressing question, obviously. I had quite a few options, but the first one was to continue on the current path, and I got a definitive no from my dowsing tool, so it's time to switch it up. Yeah. So that's all about our experience with dowsing. It's really fun. Thank you so much to Access for hosting it, and to Alana Bartel for guiding the workshop. It's lots of fun. And back to you, Jules.
Yes, Claire and Druba, thank you so much. For what it's worth, I took a peek at Claire's dowsing chart before we came in, and sort of all the things that she'd written yes to. I just sort of, it was funny. I sort of looked at them and I was like, intuitively, like, of course this is a great idea. Like, this is totally the way you should be. It was just interesting. I mean, there was some stuff like, should I continue on or should I? Here, let me take another peek at it.
That's pretty interesting, the part that says, no, don't move to Edmonton.
Should I go into curatorial studies? Should I move to Edmonton? And it's like, no, don't move to Edmonton. Like, yeah, go into curatorial studies. That's awesome. And I figured that these were just things that she had sort of, like, written yes to as a sort of, like, this is what I think I should do. But that was actually with the dowsing rod sort of picked out. So it's interesting how that works out. Yeah, I guess another thing I was curious about for your thing was just sort of why the artist teacher, why the artist family would have been sort of loath to talk about dowsing outside the context of the artistic practice. Do you know?
I think that it was because they didn't really believe it anymore. Like, women in her family in the past had been known for water witching, but it wasn't really practiced recently. Like, she told us a story about her aunt who had done it one time when she was 13.
Okay.
But I guess it's not practiced so much in her family anymore, but she did say she asked a lot of her family members about it, and when she told them it was for her art practice, they were a lot more willing to talk about it and be open to the possibility that it works.
Okay, that's very interesting. Anyways, so it looks like that's all the time that we have to today. Thank you so much, Druba and Claire, again, Callie, everyone in the Women's Collective who helped put together today's show, including Charlene Sayo.
And Elizabeth Holliday, who is our collective coordinator, who is currently in Montreal. We actually are not done yet. Oh,
we're not done yet.
No,
oh, man, we have more time.
It's 6:46. We have so much time. We have 15 minutes. I had a question about this dowsing, however, I forgot it. So we will play some music to carry us along, and then we'll come and say our goodbyes. This next song is by Petra Glint. Jules suggested it to us, and the song is called Sour Paradise, and I don't know much about this musician, but Jules, do you have any?
All I know is that she's Toronto-based. She, in fact, is a recommendation to me. I just mentioned that I was looking for her to, you know, increase my sort of FemCon, CanCon knowledge to a friend of mine, and who is also a musician. And so he mentioned Petra Glint. Actually, I was creeping her her Tumblr and her other artwork pretty hardcore. So I think her name outside Petra Glint is Alexandra McKenzie, if I'm not mistaken. And she actually has a very interesting store of art. Not only is she sort of like semi-colorful and psychedelic drawings, as well as some more monochromatic collage pieces that I found just super cool.
That's awesome.
So yeah, multimedia artist. Let's check her out.
All right, this is Sour Paradise. Thank you.
children have the right to know. We all know we can't ignore this earth we're fighting for, and the people are hungry for a life in man that's left alone.
Tune in every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Cue It Up with your host, Jonathan Koo, for abrasive fight or flight music played at hot, loud volumes, uncooperative songs for things that are not on, punk, noise rock, post-punk, experimental, industrial, and noise.
Mark your calendars. Discorder Magazine's fall fundraiser is around the corner. Wander out of your multi-week post-Halloween stupor and directly into the Astoria this November 19th for live performances by Revered, TV Ugly, Mesa Luna, and Late Spring. DJ Danny Vancouver will have all-night sets in between the bands. With doors opening at 8, tickets are only $5 at the door before 10 p.m. and $10 after. Proceeds go towards supporting Vancouver's longest-running independent music magazine. Discorder needs your help to stay in print, so come on up for a night of sweet tunes and keep alt coverage of Vancouver and Canadian music, arts, and culture alive. Visit www.discorder.ca for all the details.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Lady Radio's second episode. That song you just heard is called Mother Mary by Nancy Pants, a Montreal-based band, off of their little double, I don't even know what this is called, double single album, Mother Mary / PS. And before that, we listened to Petra Glint, her song called Sour Paradise. Both are Canadian musicians and are FemCon musicians. And throughout the show, we played entirely FemCon. Just a reminder, that is when two of four categories are fulfilled. So the music is produced by a female, self-identified female performs in the band, self-identified female composed the music, or a self-identified female wrote the lyrics. So alongside our content, we tried to match our music with our content, because why the heck not? So don't turn off your dial or close your internet, what is it called, tab? You can listen to CITR for the rest of the evening and catch African Rhythms at 7:30, Scald's Hall at 9 p.m., Canada Post Rock at 10, and The Medicine Show at 11 p.m. So if you feel like having some backing music to your party or whatever you're doing on this Friday night, or just chilling or whatever, you should just have CITR rolling, because why not? There's just so many good things to come. So thanks again for listening, and thanks to Claire and Druba for their water witching and dousing information and experience, and also Callie to her interview with Charlene Sayo from Misrepresent. If you'd like to listen more, you can find us on CITR.ca and find our podcast, and we'll be back next Friday at 6 p.m. Bye.
This is Jesse Laborde, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock with your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythms.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.